You're listening to the Rubber Chickens Unleashed.
Under 4 minutes to go. Here comes Pharaoh Cooper in out of the slot. He switches with Connor Shaw. Cooper out of the Wildcat. Shotgun snap. Running right side. Cooper wants to throw it. A leaping catch to Brandon Wiles at the 10. 5. Touchdown Carolina. Touchdown Brandon Wiles. Pharaoh Cooper with a touchdown pass from 26 yards out. Chaos at Williams-Brice. Chaos.
Hello, Gamecock Nation, and welcome to TRC Unleashed. This is episode number 72. TRC stands for the Rubber Chickens, and you can find our writings at therubberchickensblog.com. You can follow us on Twitter at RUBRChickens. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook. I mean, we are all over social media. My name's Buck, and I'm your host. I'm joined, as always, by T-Bone and the G-Man, who are back from their sabbaticals to Sierra Leone and Guatemala, respectively. Gentlemen, welcome back.
Hey, it's good to be back. I wish I could speak Spanish. It would be way funnier right now.
Just say, hola, compadre. Hola.
¿Cómo está?
I didn't realize I took a trip, but thanks for letting me know.
Yeah, well, you probably wouldn't remember a trip to Guatemala, based on what I hear. So, hey, it's Clemson week. We were just discussing, we have not had a podcast since September after the Vandy game, which is kind of hard to believe. But, you know, first of all, before we get into anything else, let me address some of you folks out there who have had the nerve to attribute our lack of podcasting and posting to being fair weather Gamecock fans. You know, to all you folks, I got a stern message for you. You are not entirely incorrect about that assessment. And T-Bone and I, the three of us were together with the G-Man down at Fripp a few weeks ago. And T-Bone and I we talked about this a little bit. When you're not winning or you're not meeting or exceeding expectations, it makes it a little harder to get motivated to podcast or write, you know, when your team is stinking it up. Wouldn't I mean, we don't get paid to do this.
Right. So, the phrase that I would use is one I'm familiar with up here around the Clemson folks, and that is I turtle. Right. I turtle when these times come up.
Right. Yeah.
I go back into my shell. I pretend like I don't even follow college sports, and that's usually the healthiest thing to do.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're busy. We have, you know, jobs that keep us busy, some more busy than others. You know, we got kids. I got, you know, and normally if Carolina's playing well, I'll leave that dirty diaper for a little while to maybe, you know, write up a little blog post or take some time to do a podcast or something. But I mean, honest to goodness, it's a little more difficult to get motivated when you're.
Let me say this too.
Yeah.
When you started out, you said this is our 72nd podcast.
Right.
Right. Right. Right.
And we've had the blog for how long?
4 years.
4 years, 72 podcasts. You know, every now and then we deserve a little hiatus, a little
right.
break.
Right.
A little pause, a little moment of reflection. And so, you know, we're gonna do that. I mean, I know you said you weren't getting paid. I guess I won't disclose my, you know, what I get, but I didn't.
The board of directors, yeah. Or the board of directors has approved as your payment.
Yeah,
wait,
yeah.
Wait, you're not getting paid? Why are you doing this, man?
We actually do, you know, I say we don't get paid. We actually do get a little money off of the advertising. So when you go to our site, you know, be sure to click on a couple of ads. You know, each click is, I don't know, 15 cents or something like that. So, but our last fishing trip, pretty much wiped us out. So, that's all right. Well, we'll start building it back up right now. So, you know, what we've missed are losses to Missouri, Kentucky, Auburn, Tennessee, a win over Florida, and then this past weekend, a win over South Alabama. I personally, I don't have a lot to say about those games.
Yeah, and let me interject here because I don't want to hijack a later portion, but you are directly addressing a question from Kit Batty at Kitster, who says, okay, can you fit analysis of the last six games into the podcast? And where have you been? I pay good money for this stuff.
Back to the money thing, too. You guys really are taking all the money, aren't you? Now, Kit's one of, and I do want to say, for those of you who have noticed that we've been gone or maybe not posting quite as much, we do appreciate that very much, and thank you for listening, and thank you for reading and all that. So yeah, let's do a quick assessment. Let's see. Lost to Missouri. Sucked. Lost to Kentucky. Yes. Sucked. Yes. Lost to Auburn.
Yes. Moral, didn't suck as much.
Moral
suck
victory. As much. Lost to Tennessee. Double
really
sucked.
Really sucked.
I will say the win over Florida, and I actually went back and watched about the last 5 minutes in overtime tonight, just to kind of get me in the mood to podcast. It is a stone cold miracle that we won that football game. I mean,
it doesn't even equal out the karma for the year, though.
No,
it
equals out
the karma for like the Tennessee game.
Yeah, but let me say this though: to win that game, a series of events had to happen just perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
All of it had to happen. But what does that also resemble? The end of the Tennessee game.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
I mean, it was almost as if, you know, at the end of the Tennessee game, if any one of about 10 plays had gone our way, we win the ball game.
Right.
And if you look at the Florida game, it's the exact opposite.
Right. It's like 10 things had to happen. If any of those one things did not happen.
Right.
I mean, you look at it, we blocked the field goal. I mean, they're driving. They scored a touchdown. There was a holding penalty on Dunbar that brought that touchdown back. We stopped them on the next set of downs. They line up to kick a field goal with, I think it was 3 minutes, 40 seconds left. They make the field goal, game's over. You know, we block the field goal. Kid kicks the ball low. So we have hope for a brief moment. Turn the ball over on downs after that wacky, bad snap. Dylan Thompson runs around, ball gets batted and almost gets caught. And then we blocked a punt, you know. And the second play after the blocked punt, the scramble by Thompson and throw to Mike Davis to get us down inside the 10-yard line, that was not happening for us all day long. And so – yeah,
fumble pitch.
Yep, the fumble pitch.
Yep.
Awful play call. Awful play
except
call.
It worked. Except it worked.
It's because it worked. It's brilliant play call.
Yeah, but I could do that same list opposite for the Tennessee game. Any number of plays. I know the game's not as fresh in our minds as that one.
It's true, but here's the thing. We're still owed for Kentucky and Missouri.
Yes, we are.
So that needs to come this week.
Right, right. So let's talk about this week. I'm just going to open it up. I don't have any specific topics particularly written down. T-Bone, what needs to happen on Saturday for us to win?
We need to be able to sustain drives. We need to be able to, on the other hand, get some small amount of pressure with our defense. Whether Clemson has a slightly less mobile Watson or a prone to panic Stout, we've got to be able to get some pressure through their O-line. Their O-line is very much a weak link. If we can't do that, we're not going to be able to win.
Yeah. G-Man?
Well, first of all, we have to do what we've done the last five games, which is win the turnover battle. I mean, we're 15-3 in turnovers over the last –
wow. 15-3?
That's right.
Wow.
15-3. And if you know, let's hope that we got it out of our system on Saturday. Because that was a disaster.
Correct? Yeah, it was.
Six straight possessions.
Yeah. Disaster. So let's hope that was it. Because if we turn the ball over on Saturday, we're done. You know, we're gonna have to play smart football, possess the ball like T-Bone said, and got to be able to run the football. Thompson has to protect the football and be smart. Throw the ball away. Don't take sacks.
Yeah.
Throw the football away. And And I think we're going to need to maybe score on defense or on special teams. Maybe once.
Maybe a kickoff return.
Carson.
Man, yeah. if Sean Carson's final regular season game, he returned a kickoff for a touchdown, I would get in the car and drive up to Clemson and give him a hug. I swear I would.
You could get in the car and drive up to Clemson in the time it would take him to return one.
Yeah, you know, I agree. I think, you know, the whole Deshaun Watson thing, if he plays, their offense is different. How different will it be will depend on how that knee is. Is he 60%? Is he 80%? I think we're pretty certain he's not going to be 100% on that knee, but he completely changes what they can do when he can run the football. So just depends on how effective he can be. Obviously, we've had trouble with the zone reads and the running quarterbacks. And, you know, we had a moderate amount of trouble with Taj Boyd over the years running the football. But yeah, if it's...
Can you imagine, though, if even if he's 80%, I mean, would they dare run that guy? I mean, if yeah, I'm them...
No, they will. They will. They'll run him. They're going to do it.
You got to max protect... send out 2-3 receivers and hope he can just pick you apart. I can't imagine they're going to run the guy on a bad knee and a bad thumb and let him get hit, but maybe they will.
Yeah.
They will.
Again, it just all depends. I think I saw the report today where Dabo said that he was, you know, doing everything we ask him to do, and we're going to push him a little bit more tomorrow and push him a little bit more the next day and see what he can do. So, And I tell you, I don't know if you guys read what I wrote on Sunday, exactly what's going to happen. He's not going to start, but after every third play, they're going to show him on the sideline.
Right.
And there are going to be 85,000 people in that stadium watching number 4 in orange to see what he does, you know, after every series. It's like, oh, is he in the huddle? Oh, is he warming up? Oh, he's in the huddle. Is he coming in? Oh, you know, and it's just going to be. And then when he does come in, that place is going to explode.
Or on the other hand, because that may be what happens, but is Dabo telling us the truth? Is Watson doing exactly what they need him to do right now, which is look like he might play even though there's no chance he's going to?
I don't.
You know?
Yeah. I am 100% convinced that he does not start, but 100% convinced that he does play.
Yeah. What about running it?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I think just from a, you know, Willis Reed motivational standpoint, he's going to come in the game at some point. You know, whether he's, like I said, 90% or 50%. You know, if he's 50%, it may just be a motivational ploy to try to get everybody pumped up. I don't know.
I can give you a scenario under which he won't come into the game, and that is our fourth quarter Kentucky defense shows up and makes Cole Stout look like a Heisman candidate.
Right. The Matty Mock of Pickens County.
I think they're going to come out and try to pound us. I really do.
Yeah.
I think they're going to come out and run the football. They know we're weak. Our front seven is weak. I mean, heck, the whole back 11 is weak. I mean, come on, let's face it. So I think they're going to come out and they're going to try to pound us and see if they can just run it down our throats and get away with doing it that way. Because you know, they know that we can move the football. They're going to try to limit our possessions. And that's what I'm expecting. I'm expecting a game in the 20s. Something to that effect is going to be the score.
Yeah,
that fits with the way they're talking up here. They're all, you know, what's his name, Tyshawn Dye or whatever.
He came back last week.
Yeah, they talked like last week was his coming out party, and he's the missing element, and, you know, here we go.
Right, yeah. So, you know, our offense against their defense, I'm thinking, you know, talking about the score, I'm thinking if we can get to 27 or 28, we can win the ball game. You know, the two best defenses we've played so far this year are Missouri and Florida, and we've struggled against those guys. I think Clemson is just as good as either or both of those teams. I mean, everybody, you know, there's so many Carolina fans out there saying, oh, but who have they played? And true, you know, they haven't played real high-powered offenses. I think they gave up big yardage to North Carolina and – one other team,
Georgia.
Georgia gave up like 450 yards to Georgia. So maybe we can move the ball. I don't know. I just know they got a lot of talent on the defensive side of the ball, and I feel like we're going to struggle at times. But I also think we'll put points on the board. Like I said, I think 28 is probably the magic number for us to get out of there with a win. So have you noticed Dabo and Spurrier really, really playing nice?
Yeah, I almost wonder if they hadn't talked about it.
Yeah.
Because it's like tiddlywinks out there.
Right. They're just praising each other over and over and over. And I guess they probably just got tired of each other. Tired of each other's crap and called and said, hey, man, I'll quit if you quit, you know?
Right. Well, and I'll tell you the other thing is the tension up here.
Yeah.
It is so tight up here. I mean, you can feel it everywhere. Everybody talking about it. People that work at the university, people that go to the university, people that have never seen the university can't even spell the word university. They're all so tight up here. And it's going to go one of two ways. I mean, if we somehow or another pull out what I consider really an improbable win right now, I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, they're so miserable about it. But if they win, oh, Lord help us if they win.
They are
ready to explode.
It'll still be 5 out of 6.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. And you heard them late. I heard that just today. It doesn't matter. It's just this year. You can't talk about past years.
Right.
But, you know, they're 7-3. They could easily be 6-4, 5-5. It's not like they're having some fantastic year. I mean, if they win, you know, it's good for them. But, you know, they're not where their fans want them to be or any of that. I mean, they're really down for them. And I don't see them really emerging from this to be some juggernaut anytime soon, but to tell you the truth. Notwithstanding.
Well, and the other thing is I hate to say this. I don't want to doom us, but they're due, man. I mean.
Yeah, they are.
We're going to beat them 20 times in a row. I don't think we're going
to. Yeah, but I'm not one to, I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm not one to believe that any of the past games have anything to do with this game, you know. But I guess the football gods could pay us back for all those turnovers last year. You never know.
Right.
Yeah, for the first time in several years, I think they probably have the better team than us. You know, I think we've got a better offense. They've got a better defense, but their defense. You know, if you put a gun to my head and make me pick, I would probably say Clemson 20-17, you know, 24-21, something like that.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
But, you know, 2 years ago when we heard that Connor Shaw was not going to play, I just don't remember having any hope going into that one, you know.
Usually by this point in Clemson week, I'm convinced we're going to lose every year. So,
pretty much.
You know what I think, guys. Though, and I was talking about this the other day to somebody. I think Spurrier is going to go into this game. Honestly, we've won 5 in a row.
With house money. He's exactly. Playing with house money, baby.
I think you're gonna see some stuff if we get the opportunity. You're gonna see him. It'll be like that Auburn game. The onside kick, go for it on fourth down. I mean, he's gonna pull out the stops to try to win this game. I think you're gonna see Cooper doing Cooper things. I mean, let's just go for it. I mean, what do we have to lose? You know, we're already 5-6-5. Who cares?
A couple of triple reverse passes. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, that's a great point. I think, you know, Ed Spurrier even said, I saw a quote right before we started recording. He said something to the effect of, you know, I know they're getting tired of getting their butts beat up there, so they're going to be ready, you know. And it wasn't a, you know, he wasn't trashing Clemson or anything. He was saying, they're sick of us.
I'm upset.
They'll still take it that way.
Right.
He said we have butts.
Oh my gosh! I've already forgotten what Spurrier was talking about. Oh, when Watson got hurt. Yeah, that whole press conference thing. Yeah, we missed talking about that too. I wrote a blog post on it, but Holy cow. Talk about sensitive. That's a sensitive group up there.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, speaking of Dabo, do you think this Dabo to Florida thing really has legs? Anyone?
I mean, who's giving it legs besides Dabo?
A couple of beat riders that are real friendly. That's about it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, probably Dabo Plants. I mean, really. I mean, isn't that how he operates? He tells people to ask him questions or to bring stuff up? I mean, that's really the thing.
There's a, you know, we've talked for years about how, no, please, God, stay at Dabo, stay at Clemson forever. There's a part of me that wouldn't mind seeing, you know, Clemson's house of cards kind of, you know, fall flat if Dabo did go to Florida. And then having Dabo in charge at Florida for a while, I think it's a win-win kind of a deal if he did go to Florida.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm having a hard time getting fired up about, you know, either scenario as a negative for us. Right. I think it's fine either way.
Well, we still get to play him every year and make fun of him if he's in Florida, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, right, and that's exactly right. That's where I was headed with this. I'm like, I just hope he doesn't get hired by some Big Ten team or something that we never play. Where's the fun in that? I think I'll just give up college football.
Yeah, and then if by some crazy stretch, you know, Florida hires him, do Venables and Chad Morris go with him? And when is Chad Morris going to get a job? That dude, man.
Ship has sailed, man.
I kind of think it has, too.
When he going to get a job last year, he didn't do it.
Didn't he? I think he interviewed for Vanderbilt and
Wake Forest.
Yeah. And I don't think he even got to the finals on any of those. Anyway, so
you're wrong. I think he turned down all those jobs. What are you talking about?
Right. Just like Demetra turned down jobs with NBA teams too.
There's some thought that Venables might be a head coach candidate at Clemson if Dabo were to leave.
So Venables and not Morris?
Yep.
Huh, how about that?
They love them some Venables this year.
Yeah. Well, of course. Number one ranked defense in the country, baby.
That's right.
All right. So, you know, we were talking about how long we've been doing this. So we started, I guess, the year after the first game of the winning streak. So, I mean, TRC is undefeated against Clemson.
Oh,
I mean, we're 4-0 because we did not exist. We didn't exist in 2009, did we? It was summer of 2010, right? So give me. I'm just going to put you on the spot.
Ouch!
I'm gonna you know, give you a year, and give me a play or two from that game that are just like your favorite moments. So we'll start with 2009. That game was in Columbia, win one in the streak. What comes to mind?
I think Brian Maddox leaping in for a score.
All right. That's not one I would have thought of, but hey, they're your memories.
They're my memories.
G-Man?
Oh, gosh. 2009. I'm having a hard time even remembering the game.
Man, the last time I put you all on the spot. How about C.J. Spiller returning the opening kickoff for a touchdown and us thinking, here we go again?
Why would that be our highlight?
But I know, it's not a highlight. Maybe not highlights, but moments that you remember. I remember that because I remember thinking, here we go again. But then they had a fumble, the Devontae Holloman interception when the game was tied and runs it back a long way. Torrey Gurley touchdown reception, and then Wesley Saunders at the end of the game.
I forget what year certain plays happened, but that's
you gotta say. You gotta yeah. say, yeah. It was it in Clemson? Was it in Columbia? You gotta say that to trigger my mind.
All these years of drinking have finally caught up with you guys.
Well, I remember the next game, so let's skip to that one.
Well, here's the thing. The good point is, man, there have been so many. We're getting them
confused. I know. We got them mixed up.
Exactly. But the next game, my
favorite. 2010 in Clemson. Yeah,
it's got to be the Alshon touchdown.
Right? Oh, yeah.
The long ball from Garcia across the field.
Yep.
I remember that the Antonio Allen return interception return for a touchdown.
Yeah, because that was the moment you knew it was over. We were up by a score or so at that point. Yeah,
and that was we got our introduction. Kyle Parker was the starting quarterback for them at the time, but we got our introduction to Taj Boyd in that game.
Yeah.
And we mauled him.
He got blasted by Cliff Matthews. You remember that?
A couple of times. Yeah.
No, but the Clemson mythos that grew up around his three series that he got sacked in two of.
Oh, man, wait till next year.
Oh, yeah.
All right, the next year, 2011, back in Columbia, another Devontae Holloman interception sticks out to me in that game. And then the final touchdown was the Alshon in the back of the end zone, and then he poses over the Clemson DB.
Oh yeah.
Kind of sticks his junk in his back.
Yeah. That was good.
2012, back up at Clemson.
The Dylan Thompson 3rd and 5 million yards. What was it that he scrambled for there?
Yeah. I got two passes in that game. The one he hit Nick Jones with down the seam in the late in the first half or whatever. And then the throw to Sanders when Sanders
makes a great move,
split the defenders to score.
Yeah.
What about the back shoulder to Ellington for the touchdown in that game?
Yeah. And then the last touchdown to Ellington, and then all the Clowney sacks.
Yeah.
Especially the one the Clowney sack after our last touchdown, the first play after our last touchdown, when he comes off the edge and just buries Boyd. I mean, just jumps on his back and buries him.
Yeah, that game might have been the most fun of all of them.
It was, because it was so unexpected. Yeah, that was the game we were talking about earlier when Shaw didn't play because of injury, and we didn't know what we had in Dylan Thompson. And I want to talk about Dylan in a minute. And then last year's game, man, that was the tightest, I think, of the last five, don't you think?
Oh, no doubt.
For a while, yeah. Bryson Williams' interception at the beginning was big. And, you know, we want to give a big thank you to Adam Humphries for his contribution.
Adam Humphries and all his fumbles.
And that's the thing. That game was, it was the very end of the third or the beginning of the fourth, and it was a one-score game, and Clemson had the ball. And that was when Taj fumbled.
Yeah. Yeah, so Chaz Sutton stripping Taj, and then the Pharaoh to Brandon Wilds.
Oh, that was just the exclamation point.
I mean, that is the call of the Spurrier era right there, that touchdown play. So, yeah, it's been a fun 5 years. I hope after Saturday we can say it's been a fun 6 years. But as always, fingers crossed, nervous. Noon game, man. Noon game's tough. That's I don't know if I like that or not. There are a lot of great games on Saturday. So, bowl game. I'm seeing two possibilities. I read this morning that if we lose, we go to the Belk Bowl in Charlotte. If we win, Gator Bowl is a top possibility.
So we're not looking at Liberty or Birmingham?
Doesn't sound like it. And I don't know if that's because Arkansas is creeping into the picture, or, you know, you got all seven West teams are bowl eligible, I think.
Right.
Is that right? So, you know,
the conference is going to select in consultation with the teams.
Right.
There's no pecking order other than Birmingham is last.
Yeah. So I think you're going to get West teams probably in Memphis and Shreveport. And I don't know if Nashville's a possibility or not. But, yeah, Charlotte might be a destination if we go there.
Yeah.
So. And I know G-Man is dying to get back to Birmingham, but I don't know if we'll wind up playing there.
Never again.
That was a good time. So I did want to get back to Dylan Thompson. Dylan is on the verge of setting a single-season passing record for South Carolina, passing Todd Ellis. I think he needs 176 yards to break that. I read today, I didn't think this was true, that he needed seven touchdowns to pass either Ellis or Tannehill for the season touchdown record. I didn't think he was that close on touchdowns, but
let him do it. He can do it Saturday.
No yeah, an eight touchdown game would be great. Is it 29?
Hey, Buck, 29 is the record. Yeah.
Okay, and what is he at now? 22?
23 on the season.
Okay. So I wrote a little, and this didn't really hit me about Dylan Thompson until I started writing about it on Sunday after his last home game on Saturday. He, you know, he's in the top 10 of Gamecock quarterbacks in just about every category. He's probably going to wind up, I think, eighth on the all-time passing list. Probably going to have the number one passing season of any Gamecock quarterback. Now, I'm not throwing him into the conversation as greatest Gamecock quarterback of all time, but I think he's probably solidly in the top five or six after this season that he's had. All these numbers that he's put up, he has done in roughly 20 games.
Yeah, it is amazing. Although ultimately the quarterback's going to be judged by wins and losses.
Right.
So it's frustrating because none of those were his fault.
Right.
Maybe one or two of them were his fault. But
if you go back to the beginning of the season, I remember having this discussion about him, and I was thinking about this in preparation for the podcast. I believe if we go back to the beginning of the season and not look at the results, wins and losses, and look at his statistics and all of his completions, touchdowns, interceptions, this is about what we expected, isn't it?
Yeah.
More than that, it's what we had hoped for.
Right. I mean, this is really right. This was best case scenario. 23 touchdowns. We said he's going to throw some picks. He's going to overthrow some guys, throw some picks, and he's done that. But this is exactly what we had hoped for and sort of expected him to do. It's just, frankly, guys, it's not his fault that we're 6-5. Right. I mean, we should, you know,
But do you agree, in the eyes of history, you know, 10 years down the road, they're going to just scan over this year.
Oh, yeah.
And he won't get the credit you might, you know, otherwise get.
Yeah. His name is going to be up there in the record books, but he's never going to enter that Connor Shaw conversation.
No. I mean, he's not Connor Shaw, but guess what? You'll never be able to take away that game at Clemson again, away from him, or the pass.
Or those, the Outback Bowl. Yeah.
The Michigan, the throw. I mean, you know, he's got his moments that'll never, you know,
and those are different. The maximum of his appreciation will not be in 10 years or next Saturday. The maximum appreciation that we're going to have of Dylan Thompson is going to be right after the first quarter of the first game next year.
Right.
When we're can we get that guy back out there?
God, I think Connor Mitch threw one ball on Saturday, and it was about the worst-looking thing I've ever seen. But I was thinking about this. You remember our introduction to Dylan Thompson?
Vandy.
Was that Vandy game when he came in and threw three balls that were nowhere close to a receiver?
Right.
And we put our hands together and prayed to God, please don't let Connor Shaw get hurt. Dylan Thompson didn't exactly leave a great first impression when he came in for Shaw either. Then that next week against East Carolina, he changed our minds. But, you know, you're exactly right. He is what we thought he would be as a quarterback. You know, he's leading the league in yardage, which I think we thought he would be up there pretty close. I don't know who your first, second, and third team SEC quarterbacks are, but I think he's got to be in the conversation for one of the top two or three.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Who
are they going to give it to?
Dak Prescott's going to be number one.
Yeah.
Right.
And Sims is going to be two.
Because he's got Alabama on his chest.
Exactly. I mean, come on. And then three is going to be Mississippi, the guy who's
Bo Wallace. Oh no.
Bo's falling off a table.
But they love him.
People love him though. I'm telling you, he'll get more votes than. And what about Mason? Mason's had a good year.
Nah, he stuck it up first half of the year.
68% completion percentage, much better touchdown to interception ratio than Dylan. He hadn't had to do much. I don't think he'll get it, but I think it'll be Sims. Will be second team, and of course Prescott will be first team. The only guy we're going to have on the first team is Faro Cooper. Yeah, maybe yeah. Elliot. Maybe Elliot Fry.
Man, does Spurrier love him some Faro?
Does everybody?
Good gosh, yeah. I bet you just don't hear Spurrier gushing over guys the way he does. I wouldn't. I'll throw this out there. This wasn't going to be a topic of conversation. Faro to quarterback next year.
I like it.
Do you?
Well, you got to at least play with it in the spring. You got to.
I don't like it, but the only reason I don't like it is because I want one of our other quarterbacks to be really good so that Faro can play wide receiver the way he's been playing wide receiver this year.
I'm with you, but know, from your lips to ESPN's ears, let's pray to our one true football God.
Think about Faro Cooper running the Georgia attack. Man.
The what attack?
You say what? Georgia Tech.
Oh yeah,
and if he was our quarterback,
yeah. If Faro can work on throwing the ball, then again, look, hey, I'm not giving up on Connor Mitch yet. I'm hoping something clicks with him, but it does bother me that he hasn't, his name hasn't crossed Spurrier's lips all year as far as playing time goes. So, I guess we will see. College football playoff, what else is going on? I think the college football playoff is doing exactly what it was designed to do, is piss a lot of people off and get them, get them yelling at each other on TV and on Twitter and all that kind of stuff. They're going to have to go to eight teams. I mean, they need to.
If you're looking at 3, 4, 5, and 6, it's impossible.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
Yeah. A lot of SEC bashing going on right now. I don't know. That's a tough job, man, to try to figure out the top four. Why don't we do some Twitter questions? I know we had a few come across.
We got a few Twitter questions, and we've actually addressed many of them, but I'll still give a hat tip to the guy. Ben Black at Wando Cock. Friend of the podcast. What's
fisherman? That's our fisherman.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking of. What was the over under on how many times Dabo turns down the Florida job he was never offered?
I think he's already turned it down twice. So I'll put the over under at 4.
Okay, that's pretty good. 4. Yeah. Wando also asked, and I'm gonna take a little creative license with this. Will Clemson fans say we're classless if we try to tackle Watson?
Coming out of it right because he's got a bad knee.
We should
play two-hand touch. I think we should all come to an agreement that Watson is two-hand touch. Talk to the referees before the game and go at it that way.
Hey, that's what we were doing with the Kentucky quarterback.
Right.
Hey, Brennan Rollins at Brennan Rollins says, please work in a Pam Ward cameo.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Pam Ward coming to you live from
the Humanitarian Bowl.
From the Humanitarian Bowl, where Bowling Green will take on Toledo.
Whatever happened to Pam? I'm worried about
She's gone, man. She is gone.
Hey, Buck, you can't do a Pam Ward without saying Chippewas. Come on.
The Central Michigan Chippewas. I don't know. I think Pam got cut loose. Who's the other? Beth Mowins. Hi, Beth Mowins.
Hey, have you ever seen Pam and Beth in the same place?
I have not.
Just asking.
I haven't. What if they were doing the same broadcast?
Oh man.
Beth is going to give us a breakdown on the Bowling Green offense. Thanks, Pam. All right.
We should do a whole show just as them because they could get them confused. Like, wait, I thought I was Pam.
Right.
you can kick it over to Vern Lundquist for some commentary. You know what he does?
Wow.
He says, ha. Very astute.
Brennan, I also ask if Jeremy Foley bumps his head and hires Dabo, there's a possibility we get Brad Lawing back. There's a real answer to this question. There's a real answer. But I'm curious what y'all say.
I think that Spurrier is kind of got a kind of a East Tennessee mafia thing going on, and when you go against the family, you're out for good. So I don't think Spurrier was happy that Lawing left. and I don't think he'd ever hire him back.
Well, the rumor is that Loring didn't leave for any football reason.
Oh, really?
When you said family,
yeah,
we're very close, and we need to move on.
Oh.
Hello.
We'll have to talk about this off the air.
All right. Yes. But no, he will not be coming back under any circumstances whatsoever.
All right, cool.
John Michael Gunnels, at Fun and Gunnels. He has my favorite Twitter handle now.
More than King Touchdown?
Well, I like that one for sentimental reasons. But favorite pick in a game of rock, paper, scissors?
Rock. Rock never loses.
Next
question.
You know, there have actually been studies on this. You need to Google it. Paper is picked less than the other two, which says, what should you always pick?
Paper.
No, if they're not ever going to pick paper, then you should never
pick scissors.
Scissors, right.
I'm so confused.
We managed to make a game of rock, paper, scissors. Confused.
Good old rock. Nothing beats rock.
Did y'all have dynamite when you were a kid? We had dynamite.
We had dynamite too, yeah.
Nothing beats dynamite. Gunnels also asked, in the theme of Thanksgiving, was turkey a country or a bird first?
I'll leave this one to T-Bone. He's the historian.
I started to say, Meleagris gallopavo dates to the early Miocene era. That would be the Latin phrase, the Latin classification scheme for the common American turkey.
Yes.
So, yes, it's been around long, 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 thousands, thousands of years before the Ottoman Empire collapsed, and turkey was created probably as a part of the Treaty of Versailles. Do you know, G-Man?
I'm going to give that one to you.
Okay. So, yes.
What I'm wondering is, here's the thing, folks. You would think that he cheated and looked all that stuff up after he read the question.
No.
Sadly, he probably knew three-quarters of that.
Well, here's the thing. Here's a little interesting thing that you can all talk about at Thanksgiving. Do you know that little floppy thing on the turkey's nose?
Yes.
Do you know what that's called?
I don't think so.
It's called the snood. S-N-O-O-D.
No, I definitely didn't know that.
The snood. So, you learn something.
That's awesome.
You know what you're about to get.
You're going to say, like, loser or nerd.
My signature is boring, but I'm not going to do
boring.
It to you.
Boring.
Hey, man, I've been getting that my whole life. Not a problem.
All right.
One more. Here's favorite Gamecock player ever. This is also from John Michael Gunnels. He says it's a close for him between, and this is the player name.
Favorite player name, yeah.
Yeah, okay. DeAndre Island. He misspelled Island, but we'll give him that. Or Kalimba Edwards. Those are his choices. What are your choices?
It's Sterling Sharp.
Oh, that is
a good
Sterling
name. Sharp is, you know, besides being my favorite football player in Carolina history, that is my favorite name. I mean, is there a better name than Sterling Sharp? I mean, in any any walk of life?
Coco Crisp.
Although I'm telling you, the name Dickie DeMasi is fun to say. It's like saying Dick Trickle.
I thought it was DeMasi.
It wasn't fun to watch.
Is it not Dickie DeMasi? Or is it?
It might be. I've never been able to pronounce it.
Gonzi Gray came to mind. I don't know.
Sherrod, you got to give a call to Sherrod Golightly.
Sherrod Golightly is unique, good. No question. Yeah, so good stuff. Thanks for the Twitter questions. Oh, we got more.
Two,
all right.
Two more real quick. Matt Burris, at Matt _ Burris. Do you know where Drew Owens is?
Good one, Matt.
And then the other one, this one's kind of serious. Doesn't it seem like the role game plans are possibly reversed from the past 5 years? Clemson has a solid D, and we're the ones that score a lot. That's not really a question. It's more a valid observation by Bill Young, at Bill Young SC.
Yeah. It's funny. It reminds me. I saw a tweet earlier tonight from Chicken Hoops, who was kind of doing a throwback Thursday thing, even though it's not Thursday. But he said, remember when Clemson had Hopkins, Watkins, and Boyd and only scored 7 points on us?
Ouch, yeah.
So, yeah, we have won it very much so with defense the last few years. I don't think we'll win it with defense this week, but we're gonna doggone go out and give it our best college try. G-Man, you want to talk about basketball and how pathetic things are right now?
Not really.
I saw where Frank Martin said they are on the verge of a breakthrough. He feels really good about, you know, correcting a few mistakes. And I just, oh, man, I'm frustrated.
We were texting about it the other night, and, I mean, I can kind of summarize it real quick for you. We just don't have any athletes. I mean, we just, you know, we're just very slow, methodical, plotting. We can't create our own shot. And, you know, it's hard to win that way unless you can shoot the lights out, and we can't do that either. Yeah. So, the most exciting basketball news is we got Perry Dozier signed with us. That's about it.
Yeah, yeah. And the other kid, Silva.
Yep.
I mean, even when you looked at Cornell, when you looked at the guys with Cornell in their uniforms, they weren't nearly as good of basketball players as the guys we had, but they were, man, they were athletic. And then Charlotte was definitely more athletic and definitely had better basketball players. And then, you know, Akron, I was jealous. I was looking at a couple of their guys. I was like, man, I wish he was on our team. You know, you're right. We got, you know, what, you know, Ty Johnson looks like a head case this year. Carrera is sophomore Carrera, not freshman Carrera again. All this talk of, 21.
Notice?
No, power forward who put on 20 pounds and was Henry? Yeah. Henry? Oh, yeah, he looks exactly like he looked last year to me. I mean, he's the same player. It's like nobody improved, and if Thornwell's not on, we're gonna struggle.
So. Well, we really you pegged it. We're really missing Brenton Williams right now, who could actually put the ball in the basket.
Right.
You know? Yeah. I mean, somebody's got to put the ball in the basket, and we just don't really have that guy other than Thornwell. And he's not really a shooter. He's a scorer. He's not a shooter.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a big difference there. And, you know, he needs some compliments.
Yeah.
Not seeing him.
And, look, Stroman is going to be a good basketball player for us for four years. I have no doubt about it. I don't know what he averaged in high school, you know, points per game or anything. I get nervous when I see these guys in high school that we recruit that are averaging 12 to 15 points a game. You know, I'm like, if they're scoring 12 or 15 at the high school level, what are they going to do in college? And I know you have different roles for different players on the team, and maybe occasionally you got to take this guy who scores 12 or 15 a game. Stroman just can't shoot. Oh, he can't shoot.
Hey, I got a question for T-Bone.
Yeah.
Do you know, have you heard of any of these people we're talking about?
Yeah, you know, because y'all talk about them all the time. But
okay.
Yeah. But hey, look, women's basketball. Go Dawn Staley.
Hey, I went to the absolute mauling of the Lady Tigers the other night. That game.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! I think I sent you guys a picture. At one time, the score was 73-29.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
That's awesome.
I'm not kidding you. And that Asia Wilson.
Yeah.
One point she scored 10 straight points and they took her out of the game. It was kind of like, you know,
mercy rule.
Like taking out the big kid. You
right.
Know what
I mean? Right. Yeah. So, and then the women's soccer team is in the Elite Eight. So I think Spurrier even said it in one of his press conferences the last few days. He said the women coaches are kicking the men's coaches' butts right now.
Yep.
So T-Bone, I think you had one last thing you wanted to talk about. If we get our sixth win in a row on Saturday against the Tigers, you know, we've run out of fingers on one hand.
Right.
So what do we do? What is it?
It's a good question, and I think we all need to put our heads together, because, you know, if we get that sixth win on Saturday, social media is going to light up and we all need to be on the same page. So I just want y'all to, if you're listening, guys, you're participating here, I want you to put your hands palm down in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
And then close all your fingers but one on your left hand, and that's six, right?
Right.
So we could do that. You could do six like that. But right. Let me give you a couple other options, and I just want Twitter to figure out which one they like best before the game.
Okay.
The other one is take your right hand, make the OK sign, okay?
Yep.
Now put your three fingers together and kind of curve them.
Now, oh, it looks like a six.
To the people looking at you, that's a six. So think about that one, because it kind of conveys the idea of, hey, everything's okay and cool with me, and you lost six in a row. So
right.
Think about that. Here's another slightly more obscure. Take your left hand.
Yeah.
Make the Vulcan sign. Don't pretend like you don't know what that is. Okay? Now take your forefinger and your middle finger and split them apart.
I'm gonna rely on the nerds listening to this to go. So is the Vulcan where you keep your pinky and your ring finger together and your middle finger and your index? Okay, I'm doing that.
And then you keep your thumbs tucked tight. That's the technique you use there. Then you split your forefinger and your middle finger apart, and what you're making is a Roman numeral six. So if you turn it around and flash it at people like a gang sign, the Roman numeral six, baby. The Clemson fans will never figure that out.
Oh, that's good.
I would love to see better ones than that come up, but we all kind of need to get together, folks, on what we're going to start doing on Sunday morning.
Because we're gonna win.
We're gonna win, baby.
All right. Anything else before we dive into Thanksgiving and the annual contest against the Tigers?
For whatever it's worth, thoughts and prayers with Todd Gurley. I understand he had ACL surgery today.
Yep. And Eric Berry, former Tennessee and current Kansas City player. I don't know if you guys saw that. Found a mass in his chest, and they think it may be lymphoma. So thoughts and prayers out to Eric Berry and his family. And, thankful for everything that we have, for sure. We hope you have a great time with your family this Thanksgiving. If you're not with your family, if you're with your friends, or just, hope you have a great day. And hopefully next week we'll be back to talk to you about another win over Clemson. But until then, it has now been 2,188 days since South Carolina lost to Clemson in football.
Incredible.
For T-Bone and the G-Man, I am Buck for the Rubber Chickens blog, and we'll talk to you soon.